Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Eve, and you're listening to Transforming Trauma. I'm here to share my truth in hopes of inspiring others to share theirs. This podcast helps me to feel connected, empowered, and hopeful. My intention is to share what's going on in one survivor's corner of the world. Hello, everyone. I am so excited to be sharing this interview with you, and I'm going to introduce a dear friend of mine who I met this past year at a professional development, personal development training through an organization called Impact Boston. Highly recommend checking out their different programs, but ours was around assertiveness and boundary setting and self-defense, and they have so many great ones, especially for survivors, that I would recommend wholeheartedly. And I'm just so grateful that one of the main things I got from that training was a dear survivor sister friend who I have no doubt I will be connected to for a long time, and it's been such a supportive friendship for me. So without further ado, Gabby, you want to say hello?
Hi there. Thank you so much for just inviting me to be on.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm really excited because every time we get together, we jump from topic to topic, and I just have wanted to for so long have this conversation and get to share it with the world, because you have so much wisdom from all the searching and healing that you've been doing all these years. So I guess to start, I know you had first suggested that Harry Potter was something that has been a big deal for your healing process, and I was really curious because I have to confess I'm not like someone who got super into Harry Potter, but hearing you talk about it made me wonder if I should be rereading the book. So how did the reading the books impact you in the movies, and tell me what role that's played in your life?
Yeah, I'm still gonna, I'm still trying to get you to get as into it as I am. And hopefully today's conversation will do that.
Okay.
So full just like I, so this is kind of weird. So I am a child of immigrants, and so they didn't speak English. So my parents actually didn't read very much to me growing up, and I did not start reading the Harry Potter books until like the last year, I think. And so like I knew what they were. I hadn't really seen the movies, and I just thought it was just kind of like a fantasy, kind of like a video game type. I don't know. I just didn't really understand the story. And then for some reason, one day I was just called to pick them up and read them. I don't know why. I don't know what kind of triggered it. I was just like, oh, maybe I should get around to reading those sometime. Everyone's so into them. And And I started reading them. So I read them. I'm still reading them. I'm still going through them, but I'm reading them through the lens of like an adult, right? Like, so I'm not like a kid. And so there's all this stuff that I was picking up on where it was like, oh, like Harry is a survivor of trauma, just like me. He's gone through, you know, grief and loss. I don't know what part of the story you remember, but he, you know, he loses his, both his parents, in a very tragic way. He's, emotionally and verbally and, you know, at times, you know, physically abused by, the family that takes him in, his aunt and uncle and his cousin. He's forced to live in the cupboard underneath the stairs. And he's, you know, a little boy and just like there's just like so many parts of that character that I was able to relate to, just, you know, him being a survivor of trauma. And then also, just little things that I picked up on, like how I get triggered as a survivor of trauma. Like, there's like a metaphor for that in how he is triggered in the book. So Voldemort, who's the villain, whenever Voldemort is around, Harry's famous lightning bolt scar begins to hurt. And to me, that translated as like, oh, like when I get triggered, it's like those scars that were, you know, made years ago when I was going through trauma, they begin to hurt again, just like Harry's scar starts to hurt whenever this man, this evil, you know, being who committed so much evil against his family and him is around. And there's so many little nuances like that, that I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like the story of a trauma survivor and how he like deals with it. And sometimes he deals with it in good ways, and sometimes he deals with it in not the best ways. And he runs into the same challenges that I do, you know, with like trusting people. And, you know, like a lot of the story is him and his two best friends, Hermione and Ron, kind of taking it upon themselves as children to save the wizarding world, instead of, you know, doing what might be a little bit more reasonable and going to a more experienced adult wizard to help them out. And I think that comes from a place of not knowing what adults he could trust, because he was, you know, he was abused as a child. So I don't know. I just see a lot of parallels between what Harry went through, how he deals with it once he's out of the trauma. Not that he ever really is, because, I mean, once he gets out of the home, then he starts experiencing all sorts of kind of magical trauma once he gets into Hogwarts. But and just like real life and what survivors go through.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. That sheds like a whole new light on Harry Potter. Yeah. I hope that listeners also feel inspired to return to the books and movies and kind of keep their lens for trauma in mind, because that's very inspiring. And Harry Potter is a a symbol of strength and such an inspiring character. So it's really interesting to think about it from that point of view. And I do remember the pushing on the scars, and I just feel like there's so much, I hear so much self-compassion in how you're describing this little boy. And I can hear and how you're relating to it, this connection to like how he relates to his triggers, and sort of getting to imagine this like physical representation of a scar being triggered and how real that is. So thank you for sharing that. And I know that you are a reader, and it's interesting to know that that's not something that you're raised with, but you've discovered a love for reading and learning. And are there any other books that you've been finding healing for you, or other practices that you'd like to talk about?
So off of the Harry Potter books, I found this other book. I'm looking up the name of it really quickly. But it's a book of poems by an author named Amanda Lovelace. And it's like one of the I think the only book that I've ever read that has trigger warnings. Like this reading, this material may be triggering to you if you've experienced like these types of traumas, and it has like a list at the beginning of the book. The poems are so amazing, and she's, you know, a survivor of trauma herself. The book is called The Princess Saves Herself in This One. And it's just a book of poems. And it's really funny because she dedicates the book to Harry Potter, the character, because she was also very inspired by his story. So a lot of the poems have references to the Harry Potter series. So that's a really great book. That was really helpful. I just picked up another one. It's called Self-Compassion, and the author is Kristen Neff. And that book has been really helpful because I feel like oftentimes, like, I'm such a self-development and self-help, self-healing junkie, and I read these books, and sometimes I walk away from them a little overwhelmed and slightly disappointed, because I feel like a lot of the exercises that are not some of them don't even offer exercises. I feel like it's just kind of like, well, just, you know, just be self-compassionate to yourself. But there isn't any like real concrete tools that are like laid out for you that are like tangible and realistic, and this book does a really great job at saying, here's a very concrete thing that you can do when you're feeling this way, and this is why it works, and this is the science behind it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that one has been really helpful. I haven't had too much, because I just finished reading, so I haven't had time to really put it into practice just yet. But I really just appreciated that there was a book that was like this and this and this, and that it wasn't. So I find meditating for, I know that you're big on meditation. For me, it's very challenging. Like I just can't, I don't know if I just can't. There's very specific types of meditation that do work for me. And oftentimes like going into a meditative state when I'm super triggered and when I'm having a challenge regulating my emotions, like going straight into meditation is just not an option for me. Like, it's just not something that I have access to or the emotional capacity, like within that, like kind of, like very intense moment. And so with this one, I feel like it's a little bit more accessible for the people that might not be as like well-versed or like well-practiced in meditation.
I'm so glad you said that. I mean, certainly meditation is hard for everyone, but it's especially difficult and sometimes impossible and sometimes just not helpful or like the best option for a lot of survivors. So it's certainly great that you've connected to this other resource and tool, and I'm excited to get my hands on it, and as you metabolize what you read, see how we might implement these self-compassion practices. So thanks for sharing that one as well. And I know that we've had lots of conversations about the difficulties with friendships and family members and just society not getting, you know, our unique experience being a survivor, and even between the two of us and everyone's experience is completely different. But is there anything that you wish people understood that you feel frustrated about? Anything come to mind?
This is a really good question. There's so much that I wish that people that are not survivors, I guess like one of the things that I really battle with when I like identify myself as a trauma survivor is that in order to like be a survivor, like I first had to be a victim, or, you know, like first had to go through a struggle. And I have a really hard time with like people like feeling pity for me. I think there's a difference between feeling sorry for someone and feeling compassion for someone. And I think feeling sorry for them is just, I don't know. It can be like more like detached, like, oh, I feel so sorry. Like, what an unfortunate, you know, person, what an unfortunate life they've had. Whereas like having compassion for someone, like you're really, you kind of put forth the effort to like dig deeper and really get to know that person and get to know their struggles, but then also get to see like the part of them that is like a diamond, right? Because it's like they've been through like, you know, basically hell. Like when you've gone through trauma, like you've been put in positions where, you know, your life was in danger, or, you know, you were abused, and I feel like you come out of that being like a really giving, generous person. I went to service this morning, and one of the things that the pastor said is, if you want generosity, look for people that have lacked in their life. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that are the most willing to give. So I don't know. And I wish that those qualities in people, like just like, you know, like the empathy and the sensitivity that you show towards me during like my moments of darkness and stuff like that. That's, you know, some people that have not been through trauma and, you know, are not necessarily able to access that part of themselves. And that's such a beautiful like capacity to have for a human being. And I wish that that like those qualities were put more on a pedestal than kind of like, I don't know, like physical beauty or financial wealth or just like having fun all the time. And you know what I mean? Like, I wish that those qualities that survivors come out of trauma with, I those really, really amazing just values and the way that we see the world and the integrity that kind of we have and the empathy and the capacity for, you know, feeling our feelings and feeling compassion for others. I feel like I wish that those were valued more.
You are incredible. That is so powerful. I have never heard anyone respond that way. I don't even know what to say. I just love the idea of what's something you wish people understood. And what I heard you say is that there are so many gifts and unique qualities of survivors and just this desire for people to really get to know the survivor as an individual and see their strengths and their resiliency in contrast.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
In contrast to kind of this idea of victimhood and, you know, being, uh-huh. you know, baggage or, you know, all the shameful uh-huh. things that we're made to yeah. feel both during the trauma and then often afterwards and sort of the minimizing of it and just ignoring it and just society's kind of neglect of helping survivors and how difficult it is for family and friends to engage with. So it's a really great reminder that we do have unique abilities, and it's so true. The survivors in my life are the most compassionate and creative mm-hmm. and loving people. So mm-hmm. I don't know who there is to really convince about that, but I think what's most important mm-hmm. is that we keep centered on that fact, that those mm-hmm. that know we don't wish we'd gone through these hellish experiences, but that because of them
yeah.
we're able to have maybe deeper relationships or, you know, be more giving, connect to some higher purpose in a way that not everyone can. So thank you for that beautiful reflection, and I'm so glad that you found a community where you moved recently that is supporting your healing. Giving you a sense of community is so important, and moving can be so, so difficult. So it's wonderful to
yeah.
hear that that's been a resource for you as well.
Yep.
So I guess to wrap up today, even though I feel like we could talk for hours and hours, and I hope that you'll come back mm-hmm. on the podcast another time, I like to ask people I'm interviewing what the name of this podcast, Transforming Trauma, means to you. What comes to mind for you?
I think alchemy, that's what comes to mind, just like turning something that was meant to diminish me or keep me down into something that's the opposite, right? Something that's made me a better person, made me be a person that can make the world a better place. And I don't know, I just like, when I read the title of the podcast, I just always think about alchemy, just like turning just like the worst possible situation and, you know, into something good, and not just something good, but something where we can help others.
I don't think I knew that when I was creating the name for the podcast, but I love, love that. And yeah, you're a big part of my transforming trauma experience. And it's such a joy and a blessing to get to be on this healing path together and figuring out how to help one another and help other survivors. So thank you so much for sharing and for all your wisdom. You have so much to offer the world, and I learn so much every time that we connect. So it's really such an honor to get to share our friendship and some of the things that have been helping you in recent times, and just look forward to more. So with that, I just want to plug the Beyond Surviving podcast. There are so many great interviews and pieces to listen to, and you can also check out rachelgrantcoaching.com for more information. Thanks everyone, and look forward to next month.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.